a reason why we sing on through the night. There's a reason why our hope remains eternal. Jesus is alive. Praise the King, He is risen. Praise the King, He's alive. Praise the King. There's a reason why we share His resurrection. Jesus is alive. Praise the King, He is risen. Praise the King, He's alive. Praise the King, He's defeated. Hallelujah, He's alive.
Say, good to see you today.
Then sings my soul, my soul.
Savior God to be. How great thou art.
Here this morning. We've already had a great Sunday school hour. It's a little chilly outside, but we're in a warm place and we're in the right place this morning. I've got a handful of prayer requests to make to you this morning. First of all, Eli Perez, he signed up for the Navy and he left out this morning about 10:30. So just a few minutes ago. So be praying for him, and I thank the family for sharing their son with our country and serving our country for the next few years. And so pray for him. And then I mentioned this in Sunday school, but I think it warrants mentioning it again. Misha Dean, our missionary to the Ukraine, she's out of our church. Misha is over there in that war-torn zone, and they're without heat. It's anywhere from single digits to the low teens right now over there in that area, and they're without heat, has been for several days. And not just Misha, all of those people over there are dealing with that, and so we want to lift them up in prayer. But on top of that, Misha is sick as well, and so please pray for her that she'll get well and get to feeling better and be able to get around and minister to those people that God has sent her to during these very difficult times. And then also just brought to my attention a few moments ago that Amberly Overton is in the hospital trying to have the baby, and so that's real close. So pray for her safety and the safety of the baby, and we'll try to keep you informed about that. All right, so glad you're here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. First of all, if you got handed a visitor's packet, thank you, first-time visitors, for being here. And would you please take the card in that packet and fill it out, drop it in the offering plate on your way out. Okay, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And Tommy Magianis, will you lead us, please?
Be seated. Privilege to care.
Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Who thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield.
Those great men and women of old time that walked daily with you. God, all of us need someone that is a close friend. Someone that when we awake in the middle of the night with stress and brokenness, we can cry out to you, and you've told us you're always there. God, we need someone that when we walk through the valley of death, to be there. We can lean upon. God, you are that friend. I pray that you'd be with Brother Chris in a few moments as he comes and stands in the pulpit and preaches the word of God that you've laid upon his heart. I pray that you'd anoint him with your spirit and your power. God, our greatest desire is if there's one here today that has never truly been saved, Lord, I pray that you'd open their heart today. And I pray that when we come to the end of the service and we give an invitation, Lord, that they would come and let us take the word of God and show them how they could be saved and be the greatest day of their life. God, we love you and thank you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I love, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine I can see. All is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For at my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, His power is displayed. To this I go, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ's name. suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I know, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. See, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for as he said that he would bring me home, and day by day, I know. I know my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my name shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold. Thank you.
Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today, allowing us the opportunity, Lord, to be together as a family and to open the Bible and hear from you. Opportunity to fellowship, worship, sing these praises to your name. Lord, we're blessed. We're so blessed. Lord, there are people that are heavy on our hearts. I think of Misha there in the Ukraine and all the people, thousands and thousands of people that are without power and heat in a very, very cold environment. Some of them elderly, some of them children, very vulnerable people. Please be merciful. And Lord, the people in Russia as well, Lord, innocent people there that would rather there not be a war, would rather there not be the death and the heartache that comes with war. And I pray, God, that you'd be merciful. Help Misha to get to feeling better and that she'd be about ministering to those people that you've called her to. Well, we thank you for Eli this morning as he goes and serves our country in the military. I pray your hand of blessing and protection be over him every single day. Lord, we lift up Amberly to you. Lord, we pray that the baby will come soon and be very healthy, both mom and child. And Lord, we just give you thanks for what you do in our lives. We know that through Jesus we have the victory. But just everyday little things, you're taking care of us and you're blessing us. And we could just sit and itemize those things and be here the rest of the afternoon doing so. But we just thank you in a general sense for what you do for us. We love you, Holy Spirit. And we ask that you'll take your power and exhibit it in our midst today and teach us the Word of God and allow me to speak with clarity and allow me, Lord, to have my thoughts and my notes all reconciled, Lord, that I can do a good job for you. We thank you for the children in the back. We appreciate every one of them and those that minister to them and teach them back there. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Before we get to that text, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. And the questions are not meant to send you on a guilt trip or beat you up in any way, but rather the questions are designed to provoke thought, maybe cause us to come to certain realizations, good or bad. So let's answer these questions in our heart, personally, just between us and God. Let's just be completely honest in answering those questions silently. First question is this: is there anyone in church today as a result of your efforts? That not just this church, but any Bible-believing church, are there people in church this morning as a result of things that you've done, your efforts? Question number two, is there anyone that now knows Jesus because of your influence and your testimony? Anyone? Third question is there a person that crosses your mind regularly that you have a burden for in the sense of they need to know the Lord Jesus and you know they need to know the Lord Jesus? So those questions can work both ways. They can be very encouraging if we're able to answer yes to those questions, but they can also have a sting to them if we have to answer no to those questions. Whatever the case is if it's provoked thought, then it's accomplished exactly what they were designed to accomplish. And so we must understand that God expects every one of his children to do the work of bringing others to him, whether it be through personal witnessing, whether it be just testifying to what God has done in your life, or whether it be perhaps just inviting them to church where they can hear the Word of God, or giving to missions and these sort of things where the missionary work can be done overseas. All of these things equate to doing the work of bringing people to Christ. And no one's exempt. You say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, I'm not a missionary. No, but you're a child of God. And so you're not exempt. I'm not exempt. We have to get the gospel out. The gospel, the word gospel simply means this: good news. That's the definition of it. If we have good news, then we ought to spread it. I don't know about you, but anytime I've had good news about something, I'm telling everybody. Well, this is the good news: the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that Let me just continue the challenge by reading our text in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. We're going to read several verses here. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth to from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Queen Candace of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near to him and join unto his chariot. And Philip ran thither unto him, and he heard him read of the prophet Isaiah, and he saith, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of Scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? Of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Peter said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. Now, there are several points in this text that I want to make that are illustrated throughout this story. And as I do so, I want you to keep in mind these can be applied anywhere under any setting or situation. These can be applied on aisle three in the grocery store. They can be applied at the kids' ball games or at the gas pumps or in the midst of a family gathering with your loved ones. Whatever the case is, wherever we encounter people, these can be applied. We can at least invite people to church. And at the most, we can sit down with the Bible and share the gospel with people if we're equipped to do so. So here's the first point. We have to be sensitive to God's leadership. Notice verse 26 again. Verse 26 says, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Without going back and reading the whole first half of this chapter, let me just explain what had been happening with Philip. Philip was in Samaria, and he was preaching the word of God, and a great revival had broke out. It was such a revival. People were being saved left and right, and the word of it, it was so stirring that word of it went to Jerusalem, and Peter and John heard what was going on, and so they gather their Bibles up, and they go to Samaria, and they join in the preaching. And friends, this wasn't just a good meeting. This was an all-out evangelistic movement. This was a revival. Several disciples were working together. They were tag team preaching, baptizing the new believers. The Spirit of God was moving strongly, and it must have been a wonderful thing that was taking place there in Samaria. And right in the middle of it, verse 26 takes place. Can you imagine? All of this exciting work that Philip is a part of, it started with his preaching, and God interrupts and says, All right, Philip, let's go. And Philip probably was of the mindset, Go where, Father? Where are you going to take me? Are you going to take me? Now, he probably got excited. Are you going to take me to Rome? Are you going to take me to Athens? Are you going to take me to Antioch? Which metropolis are you going to take me to evangelize there? And God says, Philip, you're not going to any big city, buddy. You're going to the desert. Can you imagine that situation? Leaving from this great evangelistic meeting, and then God says, All right, I'm going to take you down a desert road. Scholars say that there were two routes between Jerusalem and Gaza. One of them was a popular route, and one of them was very seldom traveled. And it's said that this is what Philip went down, the one that was seldom traveled. But it was a desert road. So God has him leaving this great awakening in Samaria to travel to a very obscure route to Gaza. To do what? Philip doesn't have any idea. He doesn't have a clue to do what. But God knows, and God has scheduled a divine appointment there in the desert, on that desert road. And Philip, all Philip's job is to show up for the appointment. Have you ever had God ask you to do something that was just so strange? Something that perhaps that maybe he nudged you with his spirit, or through circumstances told you or pushed you in a direction, or perhaps just reading the Word of God, he clearly spoke to you that you were to do something and it didn't make sense. It runs contrary to your human reasoning. If so, the question is, what did you do? Did you obey? Philip did. It didn't make sense, but he obeyed. And I bet when everything was said and done and that Ethiopian eunuch come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's probably saying, I'm glad Philip obeyed. I want you to see a principle here that every one of us should really get a hold of. We hear a lot of talk about God's will. Well, we're seeking God's will, or I'm just praying for God's will, or I just want to see God's will done in my life. And that's a very good thing, and we should all want to know God's will. But I want you to watch this. Philip is traveling this long desert road that God has told him to go down, and he sees this Ethiopian eunuch over there by himself sitting in his chariot. And I want you to see what happens in verse 29. Then the Spirit, who said it? The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. In other words, go over to this Ethiopian. Now, the point is, because Philip was obedient in God's leadership in verse 26, God gave him more direction in verse 29. Why? Because he was obedient to the first leadership. Folks, we want God to show us things, but sometimes we haven't obeyed in what he's already shown us. And how can we expect him to desire to show us more when we haven't proven to him that we'll be obedient? This goes with warnings as well. God wants to keep us out of trouble. He will caution us about certain things. He wants to protect us, and so he'll give us warning signs, but he wants us to respond to those warning signs in order that we don't have problems. If he shows you possum tracks, he's wanting you to lock up the hen house, right? Because he don't want you to lose all your chickens. It's because God says, but we have to listen. We have to be willing to obey in those things. Here's my second point. Philip, he's following the Lord. We've seen it in two different times, in two different verses. But you also have to want to be used by God. If we do want to be used by God, just like Philip, he's going to give us opportunity, small or great. Back in Samaria, it was a big revival involving hundreds of people. And here on the desert road, it's just one fella being involved. But in either case, it was eternal business that was taking place. I don't think 1,000 souls is any more important than one soul. And God doesn't either. So Philip, he just wanted to get involved. He just wanted to be a part of whatever God was doing, whatever eternal work he was doing. He wanted to be involved. Do you want to be involved in the king's business? Do you want to be involved with God's work of bringing people to him, so that they can know him throughout their life and that they can go into eternity with him? Well, if you do, then jump in. If you want to be involved, you got to jump in. I probably told you this story. If I did, indulge me. It's so many stories, so many years, I just have to repeat them. But many years ago, when I was in high school, I went to Clarendon High School. That's where I'm from. And Clarendon was playing Quanah in boys basketball, and the game was in Quanah. During the course of that game, a fight broke out. It started out on the court, and then it spilled up into the stands, and there were little skirmishes all over the gym. And I wasn't there because I was at a stock show, actually. But when I got back, I mean, it was big talk about this big fight that took place between Quanta and Clarendon on the basketball court. And, friends, this was back when video cameras were big, right? And they held them up on your shoulder, and the kids can't even relate because they got these little phones. But yeah, the big video cameras, and they so there was a kid or a man that was had the video camera on his shoulder, and he had been filming the game, and he's walking along down back and forth on the court, and this fight breaks out, and my buddy Dewey reached over the railing from the bleachers and started beating up on him. Why? He wanted to be involved. He just wanted to be involved. And you got to question the ethics there, but man, you got to appreciate that kind of motivation, right? Just get involved. Friends, God's working all around us. Amen. And he wants us to get involved. Amen. He was even doing his work on this very obscure desert trail that he'd put this Ethiopian eunuch on, and Philip. He's doing his work this morning, and it involves me behind this pulpit and a large group of people in this auditorium, but he's also doing it just as much when you as an individual stop and talk to a stranger or a friend and invite them to the house of God or talk to them about Jesus. It's just as big a work as what's taking place this morning. We don't have to be smart. We don't have to be talented. We don't have to be charismatic. If that was the case, I would be disqualified, and most of you would. But there's no special qualifications. God just wants us to be involved and make ourselves available. The third thing here that we want to see is we got to leave the details up to God. Notice verse 27. It says, he arose and went. That's Philip. And he saw this Ethiopian. He was a eunuch, a man of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff going on there, but let me just tell you, this is very important. This man was the minister of finance, if you will, or secretary of treasury of the nation of Ethiopia. So he was an important man. He had power. He had title. He had money. He had great responsibility. He had status. It seems that he had it all, but yet he was searching. He had a spiritual void in his life. Something was missing. There was an empty spot. And I got to tell you, folks, God puts within every person a need for him. He puts within every human being a need to know him. And it's a need that will nag on you until you know him. So scholars tell us that this is not the same Ethiopia that you and I know today on today's maps. This was in ancient Nubia, located between Egypt and Sudan. And the point being by that is it was about 200 miles from there where he came from to Jerusalem. So this man, this very important man, has taken this trip. The last part of verse 27 tells us he's taken it. He's gone to Jerusalem to worship God. You see, he's searching. He's made this trip because he wants to know God. He probably heard something about the Jews and their God. Everybody in that part of the world had heard what God had done with Israel and the history they had serving God. He probably knew that Jerusalem was the center of worship for them. He knew that was the city of God. So he wanted to know more. So he's willing to travel 200 miles to go and find out what he could find out about God. And what he experienced while he was there in Jerusalem, we don't know. The scripture doesn't give us any details. But we do know what verse 28 says. After he was returning from there, he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah the prophet, that's a book of the Old Testament. The Old Testament was the only Bible known to man at that point. So this fella is sitting in his chariot reading his Bible. Now, whether he bought that Bible in Jerusalem or whether he already had that, we don't know. I'm assuming he probably bought it in Jerusalem because there wasn't a Mardell's in Ethiopia. But whatever the case is, he's in the right book. And he's searching for God. Now, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he's in the right book. But here's the deal. God's working out all these details. Think about this. This Ethiopian doesn't know Philip, and Philip doesn't know him. Philip is on a lonely road from Samaria to Gaza. The Ethiopian is on his way back from church in Jerusalem. He has a taste of God, but he doesn't have any specifics. So he's pulled over to the side in his chariot, and he's reading his Bible. Philip sees the chariot stalled on the side of the road. In verse 30 says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you think all of this was a coincidence? Of course not. There's a lot of pieces to this puzzle, and they're all being put together in one place by the hand of God. It doesn't stop there. Philip breaks the ice. He comes to this Ethiopian. He breaks the ice by saying, understandest thou what thou readest? And verse 31 says, he said, how can I except some man guide me or teach me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him, talking about it, sitting in the chariot, and teach him. In West Texas terms, the Ethiopian saying, get in a pickup and show me what this says. Just show me what's going on here. Now, I want you to watch this, what happens in verse 32. It says, the place of Scripture which he read was, he was led unto the sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearers, so open not his mouth. And his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. Now, what I want to point out to you, not only does God have this Ethiopian pulled on the side of the road in his chariot, reading his Bible, but he has him at the exact scripture that was needed to make this divine appointment go well. He had him right in the verses that Philip needed to explain Jesus to him. It comes out of Isaiah chapter 53 in our Bibles today. But the Word of God has this Ethiopian asking questions. So in verse 34, it says, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And here's something very exciting to know. He's asking questions. God could have answered those questions with the scripture. God has, he's not short of ways to bring people to understand who he is, but he wants to include his children in his work. So he includes Philip. Verse 35, and Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, the Bible could have done all the talking. God already had the eunuch in his Bible. God could have answered all of his questions. But instead, God wanted Philip to open his mouth. He wanted Philip to testify. He wanted Philip to witness to this fellow. And he wanted Philip to be a part and involved in the greatest transaction known to man, a soul being saved. A human being introduced to God. He wanted Philip to be a part of that. He wants the same thing for you and I. He wants us to have a part in his important, eternal business. Can you imagine being invited by the Father of all creation to get involved with his work and bring souls to him? What an invitation. What an invitation. And so when Philip opened his mouth, he has this opportunity given to him by God. God has orchestrated this whole thing. He's worked out the details. And Philip opens his mouth, and he didn't give him a lot of good advice. It wasn't a motivational speech. It wasn't a self-help pep talk. He didn't berate this fella about his sins or anything else. He directed the Ethiopian straight to the source of salvation. It says at the end of verse 35 there, he preached unto him Jesus. That's what it boiled down to, folks. People need Jesus. They need God, yes, but they can't get to God. You can't get to the Father except through the Son, Jesus. So that should be our go, by whatever means necessary, friends, to get people to Jesus. Now let's break it down in simple terms and I'll be done. Philip is using Scripture to explain Jesus to this man. And so what he's doing, he's practicing what we spoke of earlier in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, people are turned to Jesus when they hear what God's Word says about that. So what is the application for you and I? First of all, we need to know ourselves what the Bible says about Jesus and his salvation. You don't have to know the whole Bible, but you need to get a clear understanding of the basics of what salvation is and how a person comes to know Jesus. And then we need to take that knowledge and we need to witness people to people. And that takes a great deal of confidence. That takes a lot of boldness to do so, but it's doable and it's very effective. And I recommend it. That's a great way of evangelism. But secondly, we could also, when we're given the opportunity and the door is open, we can simply just testify to what God's done in our life. Just share with somebody what your life is like since you started walking with God, and share with them how you come to know Jesus. That too can be very effective. Thirdly, and this is really getting the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach them. This is so simple. Every person can use their words and their influence to get people to come to church. Do we want to get them to come to church just so we can fill these pews? No, we want to get them to come to church because we know that it's there, that they're going to hear the Word of God, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, some people might say, well, that's not evangelism, inviting people to church, but I beg to differ. If your church is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, if your church is built around the Word of God and your invitation gets that person to the house of God and they hear the Word of God and they respond in faith to Jesus, that's evangelism. Now, if your church, and I hope we're your church, but if your church is not a Bible-believing church, it's not a Bible-preaching church, and you're inviting them, well, it's probably not evangelism because they're not going to hear the Word of God there. So it's important that it's a Bible church. I want to make one last note and then I'll be done. I want you to notice verse 36. It says, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. Now let me just say this, that by this time, Philip's climbed up in the chariot with this Ethiopian man. And they're on the road. They put her in gear, and they're going down the road. And the second part of verse 36 says this, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Folks, I get this question a lot throughout the years. Preacher, I want to be baptized. I even hear it from little kids. In fact, I was asked this morning by a little child two different times this morning, preacher, when am I going to get baptized? I said, it's not baptized, it's babitized. No, he says, and of course he's a little guy and he's just not there yet. And I say, just hold off, keep learning Sunday school and we'll get there. But here's the deal, I get that from people. I have adults say, preacher, I come, I'm ready to be baptized. My response is always the same. It's the same as Philip used here. Notice verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, then thou mayest. And then what did the Ethiopian say? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What's my point? There is no salvation in baptism. Zero. The salvation comes when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism needs to follow. It's an act of obedience. It's a birth announcement, if you will, saying, I'm born again. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it comes, this is very clear, you can't argue with Scripture. It comes after you've expressed your faith and you believe Jesus is who he says he is, and he's done what he says he will do. I want to ask Brother David to come. Let me leave you thinking about this. Who is it in your life that doesn't know Jesus that you could invite to church? Co-worker, neighbor, friend, family member, maybe even a spouse. You know, in the very least we can do is say, hey, you know, brag on your church and say, hey, we've got a friendly bunch of people there. They're always very warm and welcoming, and we have good music, and the preacher will try to do a good job. And, man, just come give it one try. Do you know how many people just are like that Ethiopian? They're searching for God. God's already setting up that appointment for you and I to be the person there to say, hey, come go with me to the house of God. God's setting up those appointments. It's up to us to show up and meet that appointment. I'm going to ask you to stand. God's spoken to you. Maybe there's a person you in your life right now that you're praying for. Keep praying for them. If they haven't been saved yet, God will deal with their heart. You keep praying. You keep inviting them. You keep sharing the gospel with them. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. Boy, the most important thing is for you to understand who he is and come to know him yourself personally, and I'd love to help you with that. Heads are bowed. Nobody's going to be looking around. We'll have a verse of invitation. We'll have a time for people to do business with God. You come. Sure.